Pledge of Allegiance with Mr. Gonzalez. If you'd all please rise and then remain standing afterwards, then we'll be observing a moment of silence.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We're saddened to hear of the passing of three retired or current employees. A Barker teacher, Mike McGinnis. Mike taught in the district for 20 years, started as a substitute in 1997 before becoming a full-time teacher at Mitchell in 1998. In 1999, he went to Barker, where he was teaching at the time of his passing. We're also saddened by the loss of Bolsa Grande building maintenance worker Tony Singh. Tony was with the district for 28 years. He was hired in 1989 as a delivery truck driver until 1997, when he was promoted to custodian at Pacifica. He became head custodian at Barker in 2001, promoted to building maintenance worker at Bolsa Grande, where he remained until his recent passing. And then finally, a retired teacher, Earl Finn Jr. Earl was a teacher in the district for 32 years. He taught 8th grade history and civics at Hare, Alamitas, Chapman, and Bell Intermediate Schools from 1954 through 1986. We extend our deepest sympathies to the families of Earl Finn Jr., Mike McGinnis, and Tony Singh, and we'll observe a moment of silence in their memory. You can be seated. Thank you. And as we always do, we'll begin the public portion of our meeting this evening with public comments. Members of the public are invited to come and take 3 minutes and share with the board on any topics relevant to the business of the school district. Tonight we have, I believe, one person who is requested to speak to the board. Mr. Dibbs, the podium is yours.
Board President Hardin, Vice President Wynn, and members of the school board, staff, and community members, my name is Nicholas Dibbs. I'm a longtime resident of in Area 1, honors graduate from Pacifica High School. It is with much gratitude and thanks and a smile on my face to thank Kelly McCamus and Dr. Moffey and the school board for backing up my proposal for the reinstatement of Youth in Government Day, which was a program that ran for about 20 years from the early 1970s until probably the late 80s or early 90s, that's put on by the city of Garden Grove. And at that time, through the Youth Commission, I participated as a representative from Pacifica High School as a member for a day of the city council. And so on February 20th this month, approximately 50 high school students, leadership students from the district, will be participating in the resurrected version. And for as many meetings as I've been here trying to plug Youth in Government Day and to get the board to go along with it and the staff, I've also gone to just about as many city council meetings doing the same thing. And so the last council meeting I brought it up, and you can watch it if you want. So I'm pleased that that's going to happen, and God willing, I look forward to being there myself, if at all possible. So that's on February 20th. Now, let's go to, I missed the last meeting, unfortunately, but I would like to come down in favor of our immigrants and DACA and recipients, people who are the immigrants and the dreamers and so on, and the temporary status refugees. I'm in favor of them staying here in this country, and on today's Democracy Now! Program is a story of a young lady by the name of Laura, born in Mexico, who came to this country because she was threatened and was about to be killed. And she was here for a few years and had children who were born in this country and was arrested on a traffic violation and then deported to Mexico very unfairly. And it's chronicled by Juan Gonzalez of Today's Democracy Now! Program. So I want to bring that to the board's attention, and I would like to ask for a few more, a little bit more time. I'm not quite done.
No, thank you, Mr. Gibbs. Okay. That concludes the public comments. So our first order of business is the minutes, approval of the minutes from a regular board meeting on January 16th, 2018. Each board member has been given copies of the minutes of the regular board meeting. Any questions or comments? If not, then would you please call the vote?
Mrs. Wynn?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Aye.
Mrs. Rocco?
Aye.
Mr. Wynn?
Aye.
I'll abstain since I was absent. Thank you. Item three, we have no public hearings, presentations, or reports for this evening, correct?
Correct.
So, and nobody from Pacifica to enjoy the fact that we have a shorter meeting tonight. So first week in, yeah, okay. No students here tonight, though. And we'll make sure we schedule a couple of long presentations towards the end of April, beginning of May. Okay. All right. Brings us to item four. I need a motion for items 4A and B.
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay, item 4A is authorization to enter in a contractual agreement with a non-public school or agency, the Autism Learning Partners, LLC of Glendale, California, for the education of special ed students for whom the district does not have appropriate programs, and that's for the 2017-2018 school year. And item 4B is an expulsion recommendation. The District Discipline Committee, acting in compliance with Ed Code Section 48918, voted on January 8th and 11th to recommend the expulsion of three students for the balance of the 2017-18 school year and one student for one full calendar year. Questions or comments on either of these items?
Yeah, I would like to ask if we can, under item 4B for case number 13, vote on that separately.
Yeah, who had the original motion?
Mrs. Brown.
Can we
amend
your motion to allow for that?
I made a motion to remove the item stated by Walter and move on the rest.
Okay.
And also, we do not would like to remind board member of confidentiality of this matter before the board. So whatever we do say, be careful not to disclose any personal identifiable information about the student.
Yeah, so we won't name names here.
Would I be able to make comments as regards to why I'm doing that now, or would that be after we?
We should conduct the vote on all other items,
okay.
And then
yeah.
Open for the.
Yeah, let's do.
Okay.
Let's do that.
Okay.
Because we'll have a separate. We'll take a separate motion for. Or say a separate vote, actually. All right. So, then let's. Any questions or comments on any of the items apart from the one that Mr. Munyatin's already brought forward? If not, then go ahead and call the vote.
Mrs. Wynn?
Yes.
Mr. Munyatin?
Aye.
Mrs. Rocco?
Aye.
Mr. Wynn?
Aye.
Mr. Harden?
Aye. All right, so separately, a motion to consider the additional item under 4B.
Okay, so in regards to case number 13, I would like to ask the board to consider a transfer as opposed to an expulsion, non-mandatory expulsion, for the student of making a purchase of marijuana on school grounds. I believe that our schools.
I can't get into the details.
I thought it was just names.
No information about the case can
okay.
be given at all.
Okay.
Okay. So I believe that our schools are a reflection of our society, and quite frankly, we need to stop seeing substance abuse as a criminal matter, more as opposed to a medical and a social-emotional concern. And I don't condone drug abuse, but I do believe that we should not be moving children along to the school-to-prison pipeline, but really be looking at the mental health concerns of students. If in future reference, if we can just have a study session on some items like this, would be helpful. Thank you.
Okay. So, from a parliamentary standpoint, where are we?
Well, a vote of yes would be to uphold the DDC's decision to expel, and a vote of no would be to not uphold it, in which case it would be automatically reduced to a transfer.
Okay.
I think under the case where the board may consider a study and this type of case, I think I can entertain a motion to delay a vote on this further pending further study of this type of case, and then we can go back and revisit this issue again or this student again. I don't know if we have is that available?
I have a question for the superintendent. Do we have a time frame we have to act on this?
Yes, you would need to act on this evening, or the student is going to continue. The student is already in alternative courses.
Okay, so we really can't request.
With that, I would draw my motion because I don't want to put a student in limbo pending whatever we discuss here.
Yeah, that was going to be my question as well.
But we can certainly conduct a study session and discuss more. And we have it already planned as a part of our board norms to talk about.
Just to be clear, since we can't discuss any detail of any of the cases in there, I'm making a suggestion to the board. We just vote whether yes or no by each board member. And then moving forward, we want to have a study session on any of the details in here. We'll make that request later, so that we can avoid talking about what we want to study on, because it entails the cases.
Okay. I would second that motion. So go ahead and vote.
Yeah, let's call the vote.
Okay. Mrs. Nguyen?
Yes.
Mr. Munatin?
No.
Mrs. Rocco?
Yes.
Mr. Nguyen?
Aye.
Mr. Harden?
Aye.
Can I make a comment?
Oh.
I think what we need is, it's not just this case.
Correct.
I think it would benefit us as a board, because the district discipline committee hearing, they know, they're familiar with the ed codes, the severity of the acts, they work as a team, they're the hearing panel, so I trust their judgment. If we're going to change the rules, then we need to inform ourselves of what they know. So a study session, an in-depth study session on how the district discipline committee operates, an overview with more information on that ed code 48918, where we have the opportunity to do questions and answers, look at rules and the regulations governing the procedures for expulsion. Mm-hmm. And then at that time would be more appropriate to, if we want to,
correct,
look at this case and other cases like it and make changes. Does that?
Right, and we would not be able to discuss an individual student case in a study session. That would be a closed session because of the confidentiality, but we certainly could. We already have scheduled for our next study session as a part of our board norms discussion to discuss protocols for how we address what has been past practice, what will be future practice, and then I will work to schedule a study session additionally with Val in her department to come in and overview of DDC. We had an overview of it last year with some basic information, but I think this is related specifically to how cases progress and mandatory versus non-mandatory expulsions versus transfers.
Yeah, and I think it's the mandatory versus non-mandatory that we probably need a little more information on. Okay. Then And let's move on to item 5A through C. Have a motion.
I move we approve items 5A through C.
I'll second.
5A is the 21st Century Community Learning Centers elementary after-school program. 21st Century Community Learning Centers, the elementary after-school program grants were authorized under Title I, Part I of the Federal Elementary Act and amended by the passage of No Child Left Behind. The purpose is to establish or expand community learning centers that provide safe and educationally enriching alternatives for children and youth during non-school hours. 21st century programs have been implemented through partnerships between schools and community-based organizations, such as the Boys and Girls Clubs of Garden Grove since 2009. Very important partnership for us. Garden Grove Unified and the Boys and Girls Clubs of Garden Grove have the opportunity to jointly apply for grants at 11 elementary schools. The proposal is to apply for a five-year grant, which includes the following schools: Brant, Carrillo, Cook, Excelsior, Gilbert, Mitchell, Peters, Post, Russell, Warren, and Woodbury. The grant's competitive, and if it's received, it would provide up to $550,000 total to be distributed over a five-year period for the 2018-19 through 2022-23 school years. 5B, Pacific Symphony Arts Express. Pacific Symphony offers a summer arts immersion program, Arts Express, to 156th and 7th grade students throughout Orange County. Financial aid is available to all students based on need. Pacific Symphony is committed to making it possible for all accepted students to attend. It's recommended that the board grant approval for that. And then 5C is out-of-district events. I have some students from the Business Entrepreneurship Marketing program at La Quinta wanting to attend a convention in Anaheim March 2nd through 5th, all costs paid by the CTE Perkins funds. San Diego High School AVID students, 111th grade AVID students, making the annual college trip to colleges in Central and Northern California, all costs paid by the AVID club and district funds, and approximately 35 11th grade AVID students from Pacifica High School making a similar trip to Northern California to visit college campuses March 8th through 10th. Again, all costs paid by fundraisers, club funds, district funds, and parent donations. Questions or comments on any of these items? Call the vote, please.
Yeah, a motion.
Oh.
I move to approve.
Did we have a motion?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Mrs. Rocco and Mr.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
Mr. Quinn.
Yes.
Mr. Munetin.
Aye.
Mrs. Rocco.
Aye.
Mr. Nguyen.
Aye.
Mr. Harden.
Aye. All right. Item 6, do I have a motion for 6A through M?
If we read a long, lengthy message like that, then we're going to forget. I move to approve the items.
I'll second.
Okay. 6A through M is a laundry list of business items, and I'm going to buzz through them pretty quickly. 6A is an amendment to resolution number 1, a signature authorization to extend that authorization for 2017-18 to Jerry Hills, the Assistant Director of Facilities, and Roxanne Lenz, Director of Business Services, in line with changes in job duties. 6B is authorization to participate in the California Multiple Awards Schedule for purchase of information technology products and services. The state allows us to piggyback onto other approved bids, and in this case, it has authorized school districts to purchase information technology products and services from CPACinc.com. 6C is the authorization to participate in another CMAS multiple award schedule. with KYA Services LLC to purchase non-information technology products and services. 6D, our ARES Comprehensive Student Information Services. Recently, ARES changed their pricing model from license to use to subscription-based, causing the cost to exceed current bid limits, necessitating board action. ARES Software Inc. DBA, the Eagle Software, is the only company who can upgrade, update, and maintain their services, and thus we would declare ARES a sole source provider, which means we do not need to go out and get competitive bids since there isn't anybody else who can actually provide this service. The board's action tonight would allow the district to purchase system maintenance and support products from ARES under the pricing structure without advertising for bids. 6E is authorization to use Colton Unified School District bid number 18-02 for the purchase of playground equipment, safety surfacing, outdoor site furnishings, and Department of State Architect approves shade shelters from Dave Bang Associates, Inc. This is a program we've been talking about for a while to upgrade the elementary playground facilities at several of our remodeled elementary schools. Good to see this finally happening. 6F, in accordance with Resolution 19, dated December 17th, 2013, we adopted a formal bidding process for public works and maintenance projects with a value between $15,000 and $175,000. And pursuant to that, the superintendent designee has approved and executed contracts for the projects on this attached list, which now require our approval. Under 6G, in August of 2008, the board approved a five-year managed lease agreement with renewal options to use a multiple fiber wide area network offered by Synesis LLC, later acquired by Crown Castle Fiber. We've extended that bid once in 2013, and this action tonight would extend that contract for another 5 years, effective August 1st, 2018 through July 31st, 2023. 6H would be a renewal of our agreement with the firm Christie White Accountancy Corporation for auditing of financial compliance audits and Measure A and P financial and performance bond audits. 6I would extend agreements for technology replacement and repair requests for proposals number 5-10. The agreements between the district and CPAC Inc. For certain technology equipment and also Digital Networks Group Inc. state that the initial term is 1 year and may be extended for two additional 1 year periods upon mutual written agreement between the district and contractor. The maximum term of this agreement shall be 3 years. This would extend the first year of that agreement into the second year. 6J is extend authorization to use Magnolia School District 2015 Technology and Equipment Peripherals bid. Project number MSIT3 I-23-20014/15. For the means of purchase technology equipment and peripherals from CDW Government LLC. 6K is the Bond Oversight Committee annual report. The Bond Oversight Committee is charged with verifying the lawful expenditure of bond funds authorized by Measure A and P. The BOC advises the public that the district is in compliance with Article 13A, Section 1B3 of the California Constitution. Bond proceeds have been expended on projects set forth in the ballot measure. No proceeds have been used for teacher or administrative salaries or other school operating expenditures. Audits have been performed as prescribed by law. Those are the findings of the Bond Oversight Committee, and we're being asked to accept that annual report this evening. 6L is rejection of a claim. And 6M is the authorization of purchase orders and checks, grand totaling $23,152,252.25. Now, while I catch my breath, does anybody have any questions or comments about any of those things?
I have a question on item 6D on the authorization to use the sole source provider. I think you meet the panel. If they can help us, right? We are now using ARI and we're using software. Do we run into the situation where down the road we can be sort of hostage to this sole provider? And will we stuck in some sort of software and we can't get out or continue to use? And we sort of, it's kind of scary situation if we go down this road.
That is a good question. What this agenda item does is really just approving Eagle as a sole source provider so we can continue on with their services. It does not lock us into to using them in perpetuity. So we still have a separate agreement with them on an annual basis with termination clauses that we can get out of at any time. Now, with that being said, they are, the reason why they're being declared a sole source provider is an expert has provided an analysis, research, and opinion, and said they are the one vendor that can provide the services we need. If other vendors do pop up down the road that can provide the service, we can entertain and change to them if possible. But I can tell you, ARIES is by far the most widely used student information system in the state. Lots of small districts use them, large districts use them, so it keeps them very honest with their pricing, and they have been very, very favorably priced over the years.
Yeah, even though the pricing is good now, but I mean, for the future, it's similar software type of situation, would we also request for source code, that type of thing, so that we can be on our own if we need to, instead of relying on them?
Our agreement does not include, if we terminate, our agreement does not include a clause to get the source code. We wouldn't be able to support it anyway. There are other competitors to them. There are many competitors. PowerSchool is probably the next biggest player, so we have other options if that should happen.
Okay.
But they've been a very good vendor partner to work with. Again, they're the most widely used.
I have another question on item 6K. It's regarding the bond oversight committee annual report. I see that this report is presented here. I think it must comply with the law, the sort of the letter of the law, but I don't see this report as being accessible, presentable to the community, to the stakeholder, as what we do with our modernization fund. So my question is that possible we can had a full comprehensive report in terms so that it can be at least accessible to the public, to community, as to what we're doing with hundreds of millions of the taxpayer money,
absolutely,
instead of just one or two page report here?
Absolutely. This two page report meets the requirements of the annual report and the information that we must include to present to you the Board of Education. So we have, in the three bond oversight committee meetings we have every year, we go into detail in the financial reports, presentations, updates, bylaws, and that's all posted on our webpage. So the bond oversight committee members are members of our community, so they're in charge of the oversight along with district staff. Everything that's discussed, including the, I don't know how large the financial reports are all posted online. So members of the public have access to everything.
It may be true that we had a full report, like two-page report there on the website, but I think it would be better to have some sort of brochure, some sort of nice-looking color report, easy to read or something, so that the member of the public can really understand how we spend the money on this report. I mean, I see this report here, and maybe it's something we have to do, but I would like to see whether we should have more presentive report.
That's a great suggestion. We actually have been engaged in a variety of projects through Abby's office,
not so much the bond oversight committee, because those are volunteers that serve on the committee, but through our PIO's office in terms of videos, upgrading the website. There's actually a new launch that's going to go out, information going home in the annual report and in the weekly newsletter. So I'll give you an update for the board of all of the different venues by which the public, in particular our parents and community, are made aware of the wonderful things happening with modernization. It's just not over the purview of that advisory committee to create those. That's, we don't want to take the glory away from Abby back there.
No, it's not a committee. I mean, I understand that, yes, we go, yes, to the committee. It's just part of the district.
Yes.
To be sort of responsible to those community out there so that they understand a simple document. They can know, appreciate what we're doing instead of this report. I don't know how many people can get access to this kind of reporting.
Right.
Thank you very much, Mr.
Kavanaugh. Yeah, so some of you think I'm looking at Facebook right now, and I'm not. I'm on the website. And it would probably be useful to have some financial information here.
Yes.
So going forward, if mm-hmm. we could, I mean, the information's all available through FOIA requests, so mm-hmm. There's no reason not to put at least some summary information out there as part of that. Okay. That's a good point. Any other questions or comments? Then call the vote.
Mrs. Wynn?
Yes.
Mr. Munafee?
Aye.
Mrs. Rocco?
Aye.
Mr. Wynn?
Aye.
And Mr. Hope?
Aye. All right, so now we need a motion for the items under item 7, and that's either A through D or A through C, depending on which list you're looking at. So can we just have a motion to approve item 7?
I have a move to approve item 7A to 8B, right?
And oh, yeah, AB. You know what? Actually, I need to report out. Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll figure this out here eventually. So agenda item 7C or D on that front page, it was closed session. The board met in closed session to conference with legal counsel for pending litigation along with the superintendent. And there was no action taken in that session and no action to bring out of that session. So. Now I need a motion. So 7A and B.
Yes, that motion move to approve item 7A and B.
Okay. I second.
Okay. 7A is the certificated personnel report, and 7B is the classified personnel report. Questions or comments? Let's call the vote.
Mrs. Wynn?
Yes.
Mr. Munafee?
Aye.
Mrs. Rocco?
Aye.
Mr. Wynn?
Aye.
Mr. Harden?
Aye. Which takes us to item 8, which is the discussion from board members, and we'll start with our student board member, Mr. Gonzalez.
I know the last board meeting, I wasn't in attendance, and I know you all missed me. And I missed you guys too. But I was on official business. I was in Sacramento attending the SABLE conference, which is the Students Advisory Board on Legislative Education. I was there for 3 days with another student from Pacifica who attends BRC with me. We had the unique opportunity of getting into groups to have the opportunity to create a real bill to present to Congress. The group I was in focused on immigration, and we were able to develop laws in our bill that supported students and families with immigration concerns.
Okay, thank you.
I have no comments.
Okay, Mr.
Munafee. A couple weeks back, both myself and my colleague Terry Rocco attended the spelling bee, and I saw the last year champion at the spelling bee for intermediate, and I just had a feeling that she was gonna take it again, back-to-back champion. And I told Terry, like, I think she's might gonna win it. It was really intense. I know a lot of my family like to watch novellas, but I think that spelling bee beats it a lot more. It's a lot more intense, and there's definitely, I'll admit, there's some couple of words that I saw there. I was like, I'm not too sure if I can spell those words. So it was a really intense spelling bee, but it's definitely something that we take pride in. I believe that was that our 25th or 30th one that we've had?
Ooh, it was like, whatever.
I know they had a big sign out in the back. It was like the number of times that they had it. I believe it's a 30. I'm going to say it was a 30. Yeah. But it's been going on for a long time, and it definitely exciting. I also was able to co-host with Mike Kennedy at Sonia High School coffee night for a couple of our parents. So we had coffee, we had pastries, and we had overall discussion inside of the extended hour libraries that's located in Santiago. And it was overall a great time to have parents come out and just chat about education and chat about what's going on in Santiago. So overall, it was a really good night, and it was very well attended. We pretty much packed the whole library with families and students there. So it was really nice. I also attended the Career Technical Education Career Fair. And every year I'm really, that's one of the events that I look really forward to. There's a lot of them that I look forward to, but that one definitely is something that just really brings a lot of hope in me, because you see a lot of these students working with their hands. They're using cognitive, you know, abilities. They're really paying attention to what they're doing. And one of the presentations that I really liked was that they were able to, there was about a team of six or seven students that were able to tear apart an engine and put it right back together. And they were all working as a team. They had teamwork skills in place. And they were doing it in front of a pretty large audience. So you could tell that they are definitely taking on that challenge. And some of the educators that were there monitoring that little display were mentioning how a lot of these students are already getting offers by Honda, Toyota, and different automotive companies that want to seek out these students to go ahead and work for them and get good paying jobs right after a course with different career pathways and getting their higher education pending. So definitely really nice to see that. And in regards to like a federal level in regards to career technical education, there's a lot of reports out that there will be like a bipartisan effort to reauthorize the Perkins Career Technical Education Act that hasn't been reauthorized since 2006. So basically will provide the local school districts with additional funding to invest in career technical education. So, you know, we're hoping that, you know, Congress gets their act together and they can definitely pass something like that, because it would really benefit our students, as I saw at the Career Technical Education Fair.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, Mr. Munitin, we attended the spelling bee, and there was more than just a few words that we probably wouldn't be able to spell. But I want to congratulate the kids and the families that support the kids and the teachers. It's totally lots of people behind the scenes that allow our kids to, you know, kick it up a notch. And was a wonderful event, very well organized and very exciting. Each year it even gets more exciting. Also attended the career fair, and just to add to what Walter said, besides the kids being able to work together with their hands and collaboratively, they also have to be able to communicate effectively, not just in talking to each other, but in planning their project, whether they build a car or they're doing culinary arts or whatever the case may be, to actually be able to write out their project step by step and present it. And so they do a lot of competing at the state level. So we're looking at ROP on steroids. I've heard people say before, it truly is. And every year, the career fair evolves to something bigger and better. And I think shows our kids, when they walk into the gym, to see the kids in action and talk to the instructors, and the passion that all of our CTE instructors have is just, it's great to see. I mean, I don't think I even got through the whole thing, just talking to each of the instructors and engaging and listening to what they're doing and not being rude to go to move on, because what they had to say was really great things happening. So it's great to see, and very excited for that CTE pathway. We had a board study session last week on technology, and I just want to thank Rick Rodriguez and all the people that were involved in putting that information together and giving us a very clear picture of where we are as a district, not just how many apparatuses we have per student, but also in the plan for moving forward in how we're going to put together a very comprehensive plan, or it's already there, of what kids are expected to be able to do at each of the levels, and when kids leave our district, what they'll have under their belt in the way of technology. So thank you very much to that department for putting that together. And the supervisory dinner, Adrian, was wonderful as usual. You guys did a great job, and thank you all for the work that you do. It was a lot of fun, but again, we know you recognized one of your supervisors, but you all do a fantastic job. So then very much looking forward to the Tet Parade and all the festivities that are coming.
I have no comment, except I want I say that I missed the last spelling bee because I couldn't attend. But every year I would see the caliber of the student just over the years that we have seen from our students. I want to congratulate all the students who represent their school. They were our champion to begin with to represent their school to compete among about some 15,000 to 17,000 kids. It's such an honor, such an achievement already. So I think that, but then those group of students behind them are the coaches, the principal, the teachers, and their parents too. There must have been a lot of work into that learning process, and I congratulate on not only the district staff, but also the school crew and the team for doing that. I really appreciate the work we've been doing, building that competition every year, and congratulate again to the students who participate in the competition.
Okay, thank you. And I want to echo Ms. Rocco's comments about the presentation from staff, the workshop we had last week on technology. I know a lot of time and effort goes into putting a presentation like that together, and that's in addition to your day jobs. So we do appreciate the time that you put into that, and we also appreciate the time and effort that goes into your day jobs and the level of progress that we've seen related to technology, both within the district and the infrastructure that supports what goes on at all of our schools, and in the way that technology is being integrated into classroom instruction. So it's great to see that part, knowing where we were 10 years ago, and even where we were, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, it is great to see that progress. So guys, thank you for taking the time to put that presentation together for us and for what you do for us every day. With that, we'll go ahead and close for the evening. We have our next board meeting is scheduled for Tuesday, February 20th. We will begin that evening with a study session on board norms at 5 p.m. and then the general, which will be a yawner for those of you who aren't on the board probably, but you're welcome to join us if you'd like. Fairly important for us. And then at 7 p.m. the regular meeting, and then on Tuesday, March 6th, we'll begin with a closed session at 5 p.m., and then our open public session will be at 7 p.m. that evening. And with that, our meeting for this evening is adjourned. Thank you.